Wrestling Radio. VGLosers.com. You press your luck up against this body. Now you're stuck, but you lie down and dirty. You don't care where you're going. Anywhere is better than I'm going. Anywhere is better. Anywhere is better. Anywhere is better than. Anywhere is better than here.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, whether you like it or not, this is Dirk, your host tonight for Wrestling Radio. And yes, we are taking a look at Monday Night Raw. It actually is Tuesday morning. It is not Monday night. I had originally said that I wanted to do Raw on Monday night and then get to Impact on Tuesday. Basically, the idea was I didn't want two radio shows, two podcasts going up on the same day. And yet, last night after Raw ended... Well, honestly, after Raw ended, I watched it a second time. Because there was something off about the show. My initial reaction when the show ended was, what the hell, threw my hands up in disgust. Just like that was such an atrocious and abysmal show. And so I immediately watched it a second time, top to bottom, the entire show. And I thought... No, it's not the worst Raw of all time. It's not a terrible Raw. It was just Raw. It was fine. There was nothing really atrocious about it. But I was expecting great things because of Bret Hart. Now, there are people within WWE who have been saying for a long time that January 4th was just another day. They weren't taking this Monday Night Wars thing seriously. They said they had nothing to fear from TNA. And apparently that was true. Because they did absolutely nothing on this show that would say, hey, we have competition, and we have to outdo them tonight, and that's why we're bringing this big-name guy in. It was very much a show that said, hey, we have a big-name guy coming in, and we're going to do an episode of Raw with him as the host. It was not the beginning of a new Wars. It was not anything amazing and spectacular. It just was Raw. And so while... I found it disappointing. It was not terrible. It was not the worst show of all time. And I just decided, you know what? I need to go to sleep, and I'm just going to do my show in the morning. So, I still have not watched Impact. I'm still going to do that later on today, and you'll get a podcast for that up this afternoon. But for now, taking a look at Monday Night Raw, I guess all I can really say was it was fine, except the ending was somewhat lacking. And we'll get to that when the time comes. But for now, there you go. Bret Hart started the show. They announced him. He came down to the ring. They did some sort of change up with his music, where it started with that opening guitar riff, but then they did something else to the middle of it, I guess. You know, it's funny. I was thinking about Bret Hart the other day, and we were watching Raws from, like, 96, and, his music would play, and it's funny, I never remembered that he actually had a theme song. Like, I know there's that screeching guitar right when it comes out, but then, in my mind, that was it. Like, that music would play, he'd walk out, and Stone Cold has the shattering glass, but then it follows up with that grinding guitar sound following up behind him, Rocks always opened with his catchphrase, and then the guitars, rocking out behind him, whatever you want to say. But, for Bret's, it's like, it would play that screech, and then I don't remember anything else from his music. But, so we were watching that the other day, and when I heard it tonight, I kind of expected it to follow the sound that I remember from 96 that we had just watched, and it was different. So, that tells me that there is something more with Bret. This wasn't a this felt, the way it was presented on television, this came off as a one-off appearance. And hearing that they've redone the music, obviously they're spending a little more time with the character than I think the casual fan would think. And with the way the show ended, it was just kind of like that was he's not coming back when in fact he is. So I don't know if that's really what they're going for, but. Brett came out and he called out Shawn Michaels, and Shawn Michaels came down and Brett asked for a truce, and people started to boo and they started to say, "You screwed Brett," and all of that kind of basic stuff. And Shawn Michaels was, you know, just basically said, "You deserved what happened in Montreal. You disrespected me. You disrespected this business, but." You know, I respect you. I always respected you as a wrestler, and I felt like you never respected me. And so if we're going to let bygones be bygones, then let's move on. Let's bury the hatchet. Let's not be defined by what happened in Montreal, but instead let's think about the Iron Man match we had in Anaheim, the match they said couldn't be done, and we did it. It was historic. It was great. Let's make that the pinnacle of our careers instead of what happened in Montreal. So the two of them shook hands. And Shawn Michaels started to walk away, and suddenly he stopped and he posed as if he was going to hit him with a super kick, as like he was going to hit him with the Sweet Chin Music right then and there. And instead, he turned and he gave Brett a big hug. And then Shawn Michaels left. Bret Hart then called out Vince McMahon, said he needed to talk to Vince, they had to clear this up, yelled out for Vince. Vince did not come. And he waited and waited, and Vince did not come. And finally, they ended up going to commercial. Come back from commercial, you have Vince McMahon backstage with, jeez, I can't think of his name, Bloody Nose Josh Matthews, and he asked Vince about Bret Hart calling him out, and Vince said he didn't know anything about it, he was in a meeting, he has no idea what just happened, but if, you know, if he's going to talk to Bret, he's going to do it on his terms, no one calls him out, and so he would go out later and call out Bret when he was ready to talk to Bret, and that was that. We had a women's match. They announced that Melina injured herself at the house show the other day, which is legitimate, that she actually did. And so they announced that the title, the women's divas, whatever it is, title is vacant. And so they were going to start a tournament to determine the new champion. Yeah. So they called out Maryse and the Bella twins, actually Brie Bella. And this is a 8-woman tournament, and they did basically a terrible, terrible, terrible match. Just about everything was botched or missed or mistimed or, you know, whatever. And what happened was Brie was attacked by Maryse and went down on the apron, and the referee grabbed Maryse and pulled her back. And while she was blocking Maryse from attacking a downed Brie, Nikki Bella basically climbed in the ring, pulled or pushed Brie Bella out of the ring, took her spot, and Maryse saw it. They showed on the replay, you could see Maryse looking around the referee, seeing what was happening, realizing that the two were switched. So she immediately walks up, grabs Nikki Bella, hits her with the DDT, and gets the pin. So, you know, the announcers are like, well, she saw that she was there. So she knew this was a different girl. So she hit her with the finisher and took advantage of the fact that, you know, this girl was going to play injured and, you know, whatever. Here's the problem. If you're a fresh body, a finisher doesn't take you out. You know, people kicked out of the stunner. People kicked out of the rock bottom. You know, a finisher, the only thing that's done is... does is really bury the Bella Twins, which, I mean, in retrospect, that's fine, really. I mean, because who cares about the Bella Twins? But it was just such a stupid ending. It was so bad. You know, it just seems like there needed to be something else going on here, and there wasn't. And I just really came off terrible. They had Miz come out as... Maryse was leaving the ring, and he did a little spiel. He spoke some French. He you know, basically continued to show that, you know, he sucks. And he came and sat ringside, and they called out MVP, Jack Swagger, Carlito, and Mark Henry. They were going, the four of them were going to have a match, number one contender for the U.S. title, Miz sitting ringside. And MVP won, which I'm happy for, but the match they had, apparently MVP and Mark Henry are not tag team partners anymore in any way, because they even had Lawler say, oh, these are former tag team partners. Really? Former? Since when? All right, then. So they are former tag team partners, and MVP won, but the match itself was not that good. You know, they did big moves, everybody hit their stuff, but there wasn't really a whole lot of psychology to it, other than I'm going to grab this guy and hit a finisher or hit a move on him, you know, hit something big on him. So you had a lot of spots, but not a lot of psychology, so it was fine, but didn't really care for it a whole lot. But at least, you know, the right man won, and MVP is going to get his shot. Hopefully he can beat The Miz and then make that belt mean something again. But the other thing is, man, Jack Swagger sucks to be him. He was a guy actually getting a storyline and a push, and not only did they drop the storyline, they dropped the push, and now he's a nobody. They actually made him take the pin instead of Carlito, which, you know, no idea what Jack Swagger did, but he obviously pissed somebody off because he is, you know, he's basically persona non grata right now, and I don't know why. They had Chris Jericho meeting with Bret Hart backstage, and Jericho says, you know, Bret, you went out there and you were talking about burying the hatchet with Shawn Michaels, but I know you really hate him, so why don't you be the special guest referee in our match? It's going to be Jericho versus DX. You be the special referee, and then, you know, when I put him in the walls of Jericho, you know, you can just let Instinct take over and pay them back for what happened in Montreal. And, you know, basically, Bret Hart just said he, you know, again, he wanted to put Montreal behind him. He didn't want to have anything to do with that. Basically said, like, I remember when you used to train with Stu, and it was Smith's kids who always used to make you scream the loudest, something like that, which, I mean, kind of a funny line, but nobody, you know, watching now is going to understand anything about that. But he just basically said, you know, get the hell out of here and leave me alone. They went to a commercial, and they came back. They had DX, you know, with Hornswoggle. They were doing their funny stuff backstage. They were showing off the new toys. They were pushing the product. Shawn Michaels came in, and he said, you know, what are you doing? You know, why are you messing around with the midget and the toys? We got a match to do. And basically Triple H said, you know, well, we're getting ready for the match. Shawn Michaels said, why are you talking to that midget like he's a child? And, he, you know, he's got a beard, for Christ's sake. And Triple H goes, you know, all leprechauns are born with beards. And, you know, again, this is one of those things where it's like, I will admit that Triple H has comedic timing. You know, when it comes to delivery, he's great. But the stuff with Hornswoggle is not funny. The material that they're doing here, it's like, oh, that's kind of a chuckle. But it doesn't make me want to see these guys wrestle. Like, I'm so tired of the act, I'm so tired of the shtick, I'm so tired of, you know, there's a place for Hornswoggle, it is not with DX. But unfortunately, I am not on the creative team, and so I just have to continue to watch a product that I don't want to watch anymore because I do these podcasts. Does someone else want to do this? If there's someone else who wants to do wrestling radio, let me know, because you can have a show right here for you. Anyway, they brought out Santino, who was wearing the Donald Trump wig, but it was all fluffed up to look like Jericho's gay rooster haircut. And they basically had Hornswoggle attack Santino, and they said that's what he'll do in the match. And they went to commercial. They came back. They had their match. They basically, here's basically what happened. Jericho tried to do too much. He didn't rely enough on Big Show. He didn't work as a team. He was trying too hard to do it himself to show to Big Show that they need to remain a team. And what happened was it allowed Big Show to get distracted by Hornswoggle. When Jericho needed Big Show, he wasn't there because he took a double pedigree thing between Michaels and Triple H. And so, basically, you know, Jericho was left alone in the ring, and he tried to go for the... Triple H tried to put Jericho in a pedigree. Jericho reversed it into the Walls of Jericho, but Shawn Michaels hit the Sweet Chin Music on Jericho, and Triple H covered him for the pin. So, it was a fine little ending to the match. As far as the psychology of the match goes, it all worked together. I thought it came across very well. But, you know, now Jericho is finally for real off of Raw, instead of just finally for real off of Raw. You know, now it's actually for real, finally for real this time. So I don't know. I'm guessing Jericho's in the main event next week on Raw. That's all I can take from this. DX tried to get the crowd to do the goodbye song, the na-na-na-na, whatever. But the crowd didn't go for it. The crowd was just like, yeah, he'll be back. Like, whatever. So that kind of shows you that, you know, DX is losing a lot of their steam when they can't get the guys to even do that. They showed Randy Orton coming to Vince McMahon's office, knocked on the door, Vince came out, you know, what do you want? And Orton said, you know, listen, I know you hate me, but what Bret Hart did to you was nothing, was everything, and what I did to you was nothing compared to what Bret Hart did. Whatever. What am I even talking about here? It's 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm drunk. Randy Orton said, I know you hate me for what I did to you, but what I did to you was nothing compared to what Bret Hart did to you. There you go. And so he said, you know, why don't you give me the go-ahead to kick Bret Hart in the skull? He's a legend I haven't taken out. Let me take him out, and in exchange, give me the number 30 spot in the Royal Rumble. And Vince said, I have my own security. I have my own people to keep me safe. Get the heck away from me. Leave me alone. Don't ever confront me again. So Orton gets mad and walks away, and there's Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase standing there, and they said, you know what? You did such a wonderful thing sitting ringside, giving us the stink eye and telling us you were going to beat the crap out of us if we lost our matches last week, so we're going to do the same to you this week. You've got a match, and we'll be ringside, and if you lose against Kofi Kingston, then we're going to beat the crap out of you. And you'll be out of legacy, so I guess they can do that now. They had Sheamus come out to the ring, and he cut a promo saying he needed a new opponent. He is not going to face John Cena at the pay-per-view because he's past that. And John Cena was not there tonight. He was filming something. I think he was doing an interview somewhere, so I don't remember what it was. But anyway, John Cena was not there. So they had Evan Bourne actually ran in the ring, grabbed the microphone from Sheamus, ran out the other side. He says, you know, the only reason why you got that shot with John Cena in the first place was because someone gave you the opportunity. So you give me the opportunity, and I guarantee you I can beat you. So Sheamus was, you know, he kind of smirked, and he's like, yeah, okay, tell you what, this is a non-title match, you beat me, and I'll give you the title shot at the Royal Rumble. So Bourne, you know, jumps in, he hits him with everything he's got, ends up going for the shooting star, takes him down, gets a two count, so he goes back up onto the turnbuckle, and he does a, I don't know, flying body press or something. I don't remember exactly what it was, and instead Sheamus grabs him in the air, and Sheamus hits him with a fall-away slam, hits a big boot, hits the razor's edge, and ends up getting the pin. So, you know, I mean, Evan Bourne came off as a guy who's in no way ready to take on the world champion, but he did come off as a guy who got some good hits in. And they really should follow up. You know, I'm pretty sure they're not going to put the U.S. title on MVP. I mean, that's just sucks to be MVP in WWE. But if they were to take, I think, Evan Bourne and have him, like, have Miz come out and say something like, you know, hey, you, you went in the ring with Sheamus and Sheamus beat the crap out of you. And he said, yeah, but I got some hits in first. I bet I could take you out. They have a match and Evan Bourne beats the Miz, takes a title. That'd be a great thing to elevate Evan Bourne because, people love him. It's just WWE that seems not to. They talked about the death of Dr. Death Steve Williams. They talked about how great he was, how everybody liked him. They said they were, saddened. He was an absolute athlete and did a nice little send-off there for Dr. Death. So that was pretty nice. They had Randy Orton versus Kofi Kingston with Legacy at the side. And, I have to say that Kofi Kingston, Orton, it was such a hot feud and they squandered it and they basically killed it. But they had a pretty good match out here. I expected, some kind of swerve or something to happen, which really didn't. Orton hit the RKO, got the pin. And DiBiase and Rhodes, they looked, maybe a little embarrassed or maybe a little ashamed of having doubted Randy Orton or something. But, they're kind of adding to that, sowing the seeds of some type of problem within Legacy that hopefully will pay off at some point. Not sure what's going to happen with Kofi, but I would actually love to see DiBiase and Kofi end up as a tag team versus Orton and Rhodes at WrestleMania. I think that would be a good direction to take that. But anyway, Vince McMahon came out for the promo at the end. And yesterday, WWE contacted USA Network and asked for... Actually, it may have been Sunday that they contacted them. But they contacted USA Network and asked that Raw, instead of going off at 10:05, actually go off at 10:20. Because they wanted extra time at the end, and they didn't get it. USA Network said no. So, I don't know if that has any effect on what this promo did, or if something else got cut shorter earlier on in order to get the full promo that they wanted out there. I don't know, but there was something about this that just really seemed lacking. But Vince came out. He said, Brett and Shawn, they kissed, they made up, so he's not going to call Brett to the ring. He just wanted to thank him for being a host, and he wanted to move on to other things. And so Brett comes down to the ring. He gets in the ring, takes off his jacket, gets right in Vince's face. And Vince just basically said, you know what, I still believe to this day that you screwed yourself. It's your own fault for everything that happened. And I really wish that you would apologize for me. I just want you to say, I'm sorry. And Brett grabbed a microphone and just basically said, well, there are two words that I wanted to say to you, but I'm sorry are not the two words I had in mind. And Vince just basically said, you've had a long career. You once said that you felt like I had been a father figure to you, and maybe that's why the betrayal at Montreal felt so bad. And speaking of your father, Stu Hart, I would love to put Stu in the Hall of Fame this year. And then he said, I want to thank Stu for everything he did because so many guys got their start with him, and the business wouldn't be the business it was today without Stu. And I want to thank you, Brett, for being the best there was, the best there is, and the best there ever will be. And the two of them shook hands, and they celebrated to the crowd, turned to all the different sides. Vince went to leave, but then turned around and kicked Brett in the nards and left the ring. So the show ended with Brett getting up, looking pissed off at Vince, and Vince walking up the ramp, leaving, and kind of looking over his shoulder back at Brett. Here's the problem. Here's the problem with this whole segment. Bret Hart is a guest host. Guest hosts show up for a week and they leave. At the end of this, you felt like there was something unresolved, of course, between Bret and Vince because Vince attacked Bret. However, they did absolutely no setup for Bret being back next week. They had nobody, nobody ran out at the end to get involved to say, I'll be here next week to carry on this feud so that they could come out and then call out Brett to be in their corner against Vince. Brett didn't, his last act as general manager make a match between himself and Vince. There was nothing. They didn't do anything. And I don't know if Brett forgot or if there was some other problem, but it just ended. It just felt like, this is why I was so upset, and I had to watch the show again to make sure I wasn't going to give this show a bad rap unfairly. And I'm kind of glad I did and why I slept on it, because, again, it was not a bad Raw, but it was not a good Raw. It was not a train wreck, and it was not spectacular. It was just another Raw, which it should have been more considering everything that was going on. But, you know, I mean, what can you do? What can you do? And so I really felt that they left this big hole at the end that they need to address. So I don't know if something's going to happen on SmackDown, maybe, if he's going to come out with the Hart Dynasty or something. I don't know what the deal is, but we know he's got a contract going through until WrestleMania. Maybe Vince put him in a contract through WrestleMania just so he couldn't jump to TNA, and he'll still be with the company in time for the Hall of Fame ceremony. I don't know. But just something lacking here on Raw, and not quite sure. I think, all in all, the show, the matches on here, the women's match was atrocious. The Sheamus match was what it needed to be. The tag team match was fine, though, the stipulations were pathetic considering everything that's gone on with Jericho and DX and all those guys. So I don't know that I can really say that it was a bad show, but I can definitely say it was not a good show. It was not the show we wanted. It was not the show we needed. So, I don't know. So that's going to wrap it up for now. And now I'm going to try to sit down and watch 3 hours of Impact and then record another one of these shows. Probably, because I have children and whatnot, Impact will get watched before I go to work tonight. And then when I get home from work, I'll record the podcast. So look for your Impact Wrestling Radio episode to happen probably tonight. Some of you may go to sleep and find it tomorrow morning, but look for it late tonight, and we'll try to get that for you. So anyway, thanks guys for listening, and we'll talk to you later.
Bring it. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the new voice of ECW, Mike Emily.
What? Big Willie Styles all in it.
Dabo, get all punky with it. Dabo, get all punky with it. Dabo, get all punky with it. Dabo, get all punky with it.